Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Amen. Okay, so tonight, obviously, we are celebrating the Epiphany, wherein we celebrate the revelation of Christ to the Gentiles being those wise men from afar. And I would love to do this really intense Bible study, just coming off of what we did in the exile, about how Daniel spent all those time in exile, and he ended up being like the head honcho in all of Persia and all of Babylon. He survived all the Babylonian exile and became this bigwig in Persia. And I think there's a great study in what happened and how he probably was the founder of whatever those guys became that became the wise men. Because whatever happened to those guys that they were looking up into the stars and saw these stars and thought, we ought to go to Bethlehem because there's a Messiah that's been born. We ought to go there. What on earth were those guys doing thinking, we should go to Bethlehem and look for a Messiah, a great king that's been born? I think there's a lot to go there. But I'm not going to go anywhere there tonight. That's as much as you're going to get in that little nugget of thought. Because I am going to really stay in my wheelhouse. I'm going to stay in the one thing that I love talking about more than anything else. And that is priestly offerings. Okay? And I know that some of you just thought deep in your heart, oh God, not again. Okay? But for the rest of you, get used to this, embrace it, because, you know, some people have like life verses. I don't. I have like this personal theology, and this personal theology is an offering theology. Okay? I believe that the priesthood is there to bring offerings to the Lord. Okay? And obviously this means a lot to me because I am a priest. But this means a lot to all of us because we are all priests. In Peter's epistle, I've got it here because I can't ever remember if it's 1 Peter or 2 Peter, but it's here, right in my handy-dandy little tablet. It's a wonderful Christmas present that I got early. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9, you also, as living stones, are built up as spiritual houses, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices to the Lord God. In verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And also, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, therefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, which is, in some translations, your spiritual duty, your priestly sacrifice. Okay? This is what we're called to do. Okay? And in a few minutes, we're going to stand up here, and again, I've said this time and time again, I'm going to hold up the bread and wine, and I'm going to pray, Lord, take this bread and make it your body. Take this wine, make it your body, and then I'm going to say, lift up your hearts, and you're going to offer God your hearts. And you're going to say, take my heart and make me more like you. Because that's what we do when we go to the altar of the Lord. We give him ourselves, and we say, take us and give us you in exchange. And that's what Christianity is about. It's about exchanging us for him, giving him ourselves and receiving him in return. Okay? But today we have this really special focus that in the church year we don't talk about much at all. We only talk about it on this day because this is the day the three wise men, which may or may not have actually been three, we talk about three wise men because they happen to have brought three gifts. There may have been different gifts. Never mind. However many there were, they brought these gifts. And I think these gifts are particularly symbolic of other things that we need to offer. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I think that for the rest of the year, we need to be thinking about these things. We need to be thinking about how we can offer these to Christ. Because they didn't just bring them so that he could be well provisioned for the rest of the year or for the rest of his life. Well, they didn't just bring them so that he would have a college fund or so that his house would be, you know, fragrant and aromatic, or that he would have a cure for arthritis later on. In my research, what would you use myrrh for? There was this research that said frankincense and myrrh were actually anti-arthritics. And, oh, sure. Yeah, because that's what babies need. You can actually look up myrrh on WebMD and see all the prescription uses for it. Anyway, they brought these things to him because they were loaded with meaning. They were loaded for meaning then, and they're loaded with meaning now. You brought gold to kings, to worship kings. You brought frankincense to priests, because if you look up frankincense in the Bible, there's a couple places where it's used in Song of Songs. There's a couple places in Ezra and Nehemiah where the priests use it when they're restoring worship. And then you see it a ton when you're looking at Leviticus. Because I know we've all read Leviticus a lot, because that is some really fun reading. It's when you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you can't go to sleep. You're like, I know, I'm going to read Leviticus. And Numbers, which is the other place where you read about frankincense a lot. And myrrh. Now, myrrh is really kind of confusing because myrrh is both an embalming fluid, something they use to preserve the dead, but it was also really fragrant and really aromatic and very, very expensive. Myrrh oil was actually as expensive as gold. It was extremely expensive. And the other place that you see myrrh in the Bible is Song of Solomon, because it was aromatic and it smelled, to their minds, very, very fragrant. Now I, being the incense guy, I love incense. Everybody knows that. I don't like myrrh. Myrrh, they can use it as incense. It's not my favorite smell. I think it's a little bitter. I think it's a little acidic. It's not my favorite smell. I like frankincense, though. I could be like the Levitical priest where they use like two handfuls and throw it on there. We could smoke out this whole room. You wouldn't have to worry about the words on the screen because you couldn't see them. And I would be happy that way. And everyone else would complain. I'll change. Never mind that. But let's look at what these things mean for us today. Let's look at what gold means for us. Let's look at what frankincense means to us. Let's look at what myrrh can mean to us today. All right? So let's start off with gold. If you look up gold, gold occurs so many times in the Bible, it's really hard to get a fix on how exactly to use it. But if we go to wisdom literature, if we go to the Psalms and the Proverbs, we can find, and starting in Psalm 19, the judgments of the Lord are what? Anybody know? The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yes, much more than fine gold. That's the judgments of the Lord. And then when you go to that really, really powerful psalm, the longest psalm in the whole Bible, Psalm 119, verse 72. In verse 72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of silver and gold. And then, skipping down to 127, Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, more than fine gold. Now, you can look over and over, and the most common adjective that ever is found next to gold is pure. The law of the Lord is pure. The teachings of the Lord are pure. What's pure? What's gold? The word of the Lord is gold. What's worth more than gold? Holy Scripture is worth more than gold. What's precious to you? I know you. Your time is precious. Setting aside time to read your Scripture is precious. Setting aside time to make time to read your Bible is like gold. Actually, it's worth more than gold. Setting aside time to study your Bible is gold, and it's worship. This is one of those things that we need to do. This is one of those things that we need to lay before our King. It needs to be part of our rule of life. It needs to be part of our daily routine, of our daily schedule. It needs to be more of our life. If it is part of your life, raise the bar. If it's not part of it, it has to be. Why? Because it's gold. Who doesn't want more gold? Who doesn't want to be there with the wise men and be able to lay gold in front of him? Scripture says studying the law is gold. It's worth more than gold. Psalm 119 is one huge meditation on the law. All it is it's a long poem about how awesome it is to study the law. Now, for the Jew, that was the Old Testament. For us, it's all of Scripture, the Gospel, Paul's epistles, all of the epistles, the prophets. We need to be setting time in our day and studying Scripture because we need to be versed in Scripture, guided by the Holy Spirit, so that we know who God is. God speaks through his word to us. This is how we make time. What about incense? Frankincense. Incense in general. Why do we use incense in our service? There's one reason why we use incense, and that's because of what it means in the Bible. Incense in the Bible is almost always used with offerings, and it's always used as a sweet aroma. When the priests were commanded to make this sacrifice or that sacrifice, they were commanded to include incense with it, and it would be a sweet aroma rising up before the throne. Psalm 142, verse 2 says, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as an evening sacrifice." Let my prayer be incense. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." Okay. Doesn't represent it. Those are the prayers. Which are the prayers of the saints. Somehow, when we pray, our prayers go to heaven. We know that. That's why we pray. We believe that when we pray, our prayers go to heaven. God hears them. They go to God. And somehow, in heaven, our prayers are like incense. They're that sweet, fragrant aroma that surrounds God. They're pleasing to him. He enjoys being surrounded by our prayers. That's why we have incense in church, folks. It's not just because I didn't use deodorant this morning. Okay? Which I do every morning. My wife checks. You know. Every day when we're standing out there getting ready to go in, there is a acolyte who holds up that thurible, holds it in his hands, holds it up to one of the priests, and the priest prays over it and blesses it. And I don't know what the other priests say, but I pray the same thing every time. I say, Lord, bless this incense. Let it be a sweet, fragrant aroma rising up before your throne. Let it be the prayers of your people, and let it call them to deeper and more fervent prayers. Now be blessed in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to whose glory you burn. Amen. And when the Theraphirk walks in with that incense, that's supposed to be a reminder to you that your prayers go up to the throne of God just like that incense rises up in this room. It's not just smoke, just for the sake of having smoke and making people, you know, hey? It's because our prayers are like that. So why did they offer him incense? I don't know why they offered him incense. Maybe because it was a fragrant thing. It was a rich, costly gift. But I know what it means to me. It means I need to kick up my prayer life more. It means if incense represents prayer and they offered him incense, it means I need to offer God more of my prayers because I haven't been doing enough of it. I don't care how much I've been praying. I haven't been praying enough. I need to pray more. Myrrh. Now that's a tough one. Because myrrh has a lot of different things to it. It's a strange thing. It's this really fragrant oil that can be used. In Song of Solomon, it's this rich lotion. It's actually used in Esther. The virgins who are going before the king spend 6 months being prepared to spend time with the king, and they are clothed in perfumes and lotions, and one of the lotions is myrrh. So obviously it's not like, you know, this exclusively this embalming fluid. It's not like, you know, formaldehyde, myrrh. No, it's something that's fragrant and pleasant. I already said that it was as costly as gold. So this was a really, really expensive lotion. And it was really fragrant. So, what does this mean? And I really thought about this and tried to think about it and tried to pray about it. And finally I ended up in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For though we are the fragrance of God, of Christ, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to the ones we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other we are the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Now, we think of triumph as, let's say, the Seminoles recently. They are going home in triumph. But really, a triumph and the situation that Paul's talking about is the triumph that happened when a Roman general won a battle. A triumph was actually a victory parade. It wasn't an adjective, it was a noun. I am going home in a triumph. And it was a particular parade that happened a certain way, and you had all the people that you had beaten in chains going up behind you, and they marched in procession, and you had priests that carried incense that censed everyone, and you had one particular loser, one person who had been defeated, that was in chains, that was required to stand near the conquering victor, who was required to be in chains and whisper in your ear, "All victory is fleeting." But God always leads us in triumph, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Now, myrrh is this aromatic lotion, this scented oil. And we are this aroma that's being carried everywhere. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other we are the aroma of life leading to life. For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ. God is going everywhere. He's moving everywhere. And everywhere he goes, he sends us. And we are being diffused throughout the world. Now, individually, we're being diffused throughout Jacksonville, through our homes, through our businesses, through the city, through the people we come in contact with. We're being that aroma that's wafting through the city. And people are smelling that. And it's either leading them to life or leading them to death. And we can choose what we do. We can choose how we react to these people, how we interact with these people. What's the third gift that I need to really focus on this year? What gift am I going to lay before my king this year and offer up as worship? I have to be really intentional about my evangelism this year. And I got to tell you, that's way more challenging than reading scripture or praying. Because I can do that by myself, and I don't have to talk to anybody else about it. But if God is going in triumph, and I am the aroma that he is diffusing throughout the world, then I have to go before other people, and I have to be pleasant, which is not always easy. Ask my wife. Notice how tight-lipped she's being. Thank you, honey. It's a challenge. But this is what God calls us to do. These are not just archaic gifts given 2,000 years ago to a child in a manger. These are things that are relevant for us now. We are called to study Scripture more. We are called to pray more. We are called to be more intentional with our evangelism. Why? Because we are that myrrh. We are that aroma that God is diffusing throughout the world in his ever ongoing triumphant procession. We have to do it. It's part of the Great Commission. We have to make disciples. We have to convert the unbelievers. It's our worship. It's great to take communion. It's great to sing songs. We have to do more. I want to be counted among the wise men. I want to be counted among the kings. I wanted to be counted among the royal priesthood. When I offer my gifts, I want them to be great gifts. So I encourage each of you when you come before the altar in just a few moments. I know that many of us are coming up and we're going to bring gifts to support emergency pregnancy services, which is a wonderful time. As the wise men brought gifts that ended up supporting the Holy Family, we're going to bring gifts and it's going to support emergency pregnancy services, which will support countless families. And God knows how many lives it will save and how many lives it will change. And that's a real blessing. It's a physical blessing to countless real people. But I also want you to think about what you are going to do in your spiritual worship. What gifts are you personally going to lay before the Lord? How will you offer your gold, your frankincense, and your myrrh? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.